Brother Jerry Sanders, I kid him about trying to fulfill the Great Commission all by himself. He teaches Bible studies everywhere. He came here from Arkansas and had some of the folks follow him out here. And seriously speaking, I've known Jerry for many years. I met him when he was still living in Arkansas back in the early 80s. He was at Bible camp, and they started coming to our conference and used to stay with us every year until their family outgrew it. I shouldn't say they actually outgrew it, because when we lived over there in that little three-bedroom house and one bath, we had the Sanders, the Morgans. Who else was it staying there at that time? No. Anyway, we had a camper set up in the driveway and had eight girls in there. Kayla and all the girls was in there, and their and Sarah and Stephanie, all them. And, you know, back then when we was young, we didn't think anything about that. Just, you know, wherever you drop, you slept. And you have to get in line for the bathroom. But I've appreciated Jerry's ministry. I remember when he was considering going to Selma. Never will forget it. We were standing there on that back deck, and he said, I really want to go there. And I said, why? And he said, because I love those people. And he's been there, and he's ministered, and he's taught. One time, I went down and did the circuit with him. And the Lord really spoke to me. And he said, Steve, you don't want to do this. Jerry took me on roads that I never knew existed. From Selma to Panama City, we went on roads, and I just expected it to turn into gravel any time. But I love Jerry and Kathy. They're like family to us, and I appreciate their ministry. We don't talk all the time, that kind of thing, but they know I'm praying for them, and they're praying for us, and love them in the Lord. And so, Brother Jerry, you come and close things out this morning. Just before you do, the 4 through 7s, they're going to go out with Tim. Tim. That's Will. I did that on purpose because it tears him up. Luke and Will are going to take the kids out. So bless your heart, kids. That's all I got to say. All right. I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate those two young men right there. One of them's my grandson. The other one's like my grandson. If you have doubts about there being any good young people, and I use that, there's two good young men right there, and they love the Lord, and I really appreciate them. Will's faithful to witness to his friends, and good on Facebook. And Stephanie went in there the other night, and he was supposed to be studying, and he had his headphones on. And she said, why aren't you studying? What are you listening to? He said, Mom, I'm listening to Papa preach. Come on, get over it. And sure enough, he was. So, all right, Brother Jerry, come on, preach to us.
John Billy. Thank you, Brother Steve. I guess we probably hold a record here. We've been to every conference he's ever had, and I've never eaten a donut. I have good news for you. Cooter's still alive. If you don't understand that, you didn't go to Gatlinburg. If you will, turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 1. We welcome the internet, Facebook. I'm not really sure how you get to my website. Kathy knows. But you can get there probably talking to her. I think it's Grace Church, is that right? Jerry Sanders, Grace Church. Berean Church on YouTube. So if you want to tune in, People like it because they can turn me off. Titus chapter 1. I don't have any idea what to preach, so I guess I'll preach the word. Oh, I better put my clock out. What time are we supposed to quit? 30 minutes? What time's kickoff? All right, Titus chapter 1, and I just want to talk about eternal life. How's that? Amen. Verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. In this verse, he didn't say before the foundation of the world. He said before the world began. He also said he cannot lie, and it has to do with eternal life. I was thinking about it. I want you to turn to John 3:16. Now, this is the sign that's at every football game and baseball game and whatever. It's not a gospel. It's not preached anywhere. Peter don't preach it. None of them preach it. It's just everybody uses it as gospel, but it's just a statement. It's just a plain statement in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That would be probably a good study for you between eternal life and life everlasting. Amen. Doctrinally wise, if you study that, you'll find some differences. But there's no way that we'd know John 3:16 or have any idea about it if we didn't know Paul. Paul gives us understanding about things, and then we look back in the Old Testament and we look at, and I believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Old Testament. We look back in that and we see by Paul's writings that all things written aforetime written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scripture we might have hope. And if God hadn't saw fit to speak to us any more than He did in the woman in Matthew 15, John 3:16 wouldn't mean anything to us. We were dogs. We were just individuals that were enemies of God. And God, in His great mercy, saved a man who is not the 13th apostle. There are 12 apostles. He doesn't need 13. He is an apostle, but he's the apostle of Gentiles. He has a specific ministry. His ministry is totally different. And look back in Titus. I apologize. I wanted you to hold on because I wasn't through reading there in Titus chapter 1. And this will be real simple. And I am the one before dinner. Great. when we eat every month, we eat the first week, last weekend of every month at the church. And my son-in-law always brings KFC. And it goes through the air conditioning duct. And I'm trying to preach, and they're going, I'm ruined. And then they go, so it's time to eat. All right, Titus chapter 3, verse 3, 1, chapter 1, I apologize, verse 3. But hath in due times manifest His word through preaching. Now you can go through Paul's letters, and you're never going to get saved unless they're preachers. That's the way it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And whether you like us preachers or not, we're gifts. That's what God said. And as gifts, we should do, as Greg's talking about, we should try to set examples and whatever. But I don't live according to religious examples. If I want to take a drink, I will. If I want to eat catfish or anything on Friday, I will. If I want to do whatever, I do. Not that I'm flaunting what I am. I'm not under those rules and regulations. I'm under grace. And under grace, I don't have the ordinances that people are always put under. I live under the grace of God. But I don't flaunt that in the sense of if I come to somebody new, I don't try to ruin them by my liberty or my freedom. I try to show them the good news. Now, on the banner back here, can you show me the five words up there are mystery? Now, I'm talking about pure mystery. There's five words up there. You know what they are? Christ died for our sins. Peter knew he died, and Peter knew he rose. But the preaching that he did was a murder indictment. Five times, I think he said, you killed him, you delivered him up, you crucified him, you slayed him, whatever. The mystery was Christ died for our sins, and that's not going to be delivered except by Paul, the non-13th apostle. The apostle that Paul, that the Lord chose, look in verse 3 again, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me. Now this has to do with something that was promised. Now Israel had all kinds of promises in the Old Testament. This is a promise. And it's before the world began. He promised something. And it's totally amazing when you start looking at it in Scripture, that promise. Turn with me to Matthew 19. Now John said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Well, I can find another verse on everlasting life. In Matthew 19, a rich man has come to the Lord and asked Him what he must do to have eternal life. Well, trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's not what Jesus told him. He said, what good thing, verse 16, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Well, he said, good master. And the Lord straightened him out on that real quick. Verse 17. He said unto me, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Jesus Christ, right there in His living program, did not exalt Himself. He exalted the Father, which is righteousness. That is righteousness, folks. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I bet you a couple of them got you. I wouldn't accuse you all of them, but I bet you one or two of them got you. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, not thy neighbor's wife. Okay, that's a lot going on in America. Okay, the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? So this man is like Paul, he was a legend in his own mind. Right? I did all this. I'm not doing that. Okay. He said, what lack I yet? So he's still not convinced that he's going to have eternal life, which is his question. Eternal life, right? Remember I said eternal life and everlasting life. Okay? And Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast. Now the question was eternal life, right? Is that what the question was?
Yes.
Did Jesus come back with the answer perfect? Did He use the word perfect? If thou wilt be what?
Perfect.
Did our apostle use that word? In the book of Philippians, yes, he did. As many of us as be perfect. Okay? If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And that's not a cross with a wheel on it. Don't you see that guy all over? He's just toting that cross, man. I asked that guy one time. I confronted him. I stopped him on the highway and asked him what the gospel was, and he didn't know it. He's toting a cross and doesn't know the gospel. Well, what good is it, man? Go to the football game. Folks, it don't do any good if you do something that doesn't have any understanding or any meaning. We had a radio program one time offered to us when I was working for Brother Moore that was over in the Caribbean or something. And we were talking in the studio and he said, what do you think? Should I do it? And I said, that's up to you. You're the preacher, man. I'm just the filmer. I'm just the recorder. He said, well, let me always remind you, there's no need of doing anything if it's not different, and the gospel of Christ is different. There's no need of doing anything just like everybody else. He said, if we're not going to preach the gospel of Christ, which the rest of the world is not preaching, folks. And if you don't think so, you go ask them. They're not going to tell you what's up on the board back here. They're not going to tell you the gospel of your salvation. I was at Brother Mark and Steve. I rode up them to them Texas one time. And I remember where they were sitting. They were sitting right back there. And I said, turn to the gospel of your salvation. It's quiet as a church mouse. I said, turn to the gospel of your salvation. And finally I said, do you know where the gospel of your salvation is? I mean, it should have been, and they've been there. And so I went there and they're all going, I knew that. Haven't you ever talked to anybody witness to them and you finally give them the gospel? I knew that. No, they didn't. If you know something, you can tell it. Did you get up this morning and say, I wonder what the gospel of Christ is? Did you go to bed last night wondering what the gospel... Depends on how many Crown Royals you drank. But, no, I mean, folks, I don't get up in the morning and say, what's the gospel of Christ? I don't get up in the morning and say, I wished I knew what the gospel was. And I didn't have to memorize it because it's what I believe. It's very simple. It's so simple that when you finally trust it, you're going to hit yourself right in the face and say, how did I miss this all the year? God told you how you missed it. The God of this world blinded you. And He used your good works that you thought were good works to blind you to the works of Christ. And that's exactly what goes on. Well, now read again. He said in verse 28, and Jesus said unto them, and I'm having to skip over this and go down. He's told him to keep perfect. Go and sell that thou hast. And the young man walked away because he's very rich. And folks, we can't understand some people what it really takes to do what God says in the first place. If you've never been religious, you don't know what it's like to junk your religion. If you're never been rich and like this man and the Lord, if the Lord came in the room, He said, I've changed my mind, Brother Steve. You can't have a car. You can't have a house. You can't have retirement. You can have the shirt on your back. Well, it's going to be a little difficult after our lifestyle, the way we've lived. Well, this man's very rich. And Jesus, He's really wanting to know. I don't think He's faking it when He asked, what must I do to have eternal life? But when Jesus told him, he thought about it and he goes, oh, that ain't good. That's one thing I appreciate about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, as he's blind on the road to Damascus, Lord, what will have me do? And he said, it'll be told thee. And when he sent him information on what to do, I don't think Paul said, you want me to go to who? What, did you like Gentiles? Brother Steve said, you want to go to Selma? I went. I've been there 29 years. I like Selma. It's home to me. I have no problem with Selma. I have no problem. I don't have any problem with anywhere, I guess, because I go everywhere. Well, there's a few places I wouldn't want to go. But this man is totally, I believe, honest in the thing he wants. But when the honesty brings up the true Word of God, I don't know whether I want to do that or not. Well, Paul didn't do that. Lord, what will you have me do? And you know what he did? Read me the first five words. What did he do? Did he deliver it? Now, in Romans 2:16, Romans 16:25, and 2 Timothy 2:8, did Paul call it my gospel? What did he say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3? But if our gospel has been delivered, he did what the Lord wanted. He delivered it. I believe that's what the preachers in here that I've known through the years have done. I've known Brother Steve since 80, probably about 80. I've known Brian pretty close to that. Jerry Lockhart, I imagine, probably no longer, maybe, I'm not sure. And they've always delivered the gospel. We've been accused of being false preachers, false teachers. Been accused of a lot of things, and oh well. You know, I've come to a point in age, I don't care. My hair's gray, and I earned it. And if they don't like me, it's just tough. Well, let's read on. So this man went away, and it begins to get serious about how to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the message about the kingdom of heaven is a message about the kingdom of God. Two verses, not a mistranslation. Verse 23 is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 24 is the kingdom of God. And Jesus meant to say it that way because it had meanings. That is not a mistranslation, okay? So Peter is reading this and listening to this, and my gosh, how's anybody going to enter? It's like, how's this going to happen? Verse 28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, is there a time and something happening? Yes. You shall sit upon 13 thrones. No, it's 12. Judging 13 tribes. No, it's 12. And everyone that have forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, yea, praise God, hallelujah. Right? And what? Paul never told you to do any of that. Nowhere, no how. Because there wouldn't be nobody in here. You wouldn't do it. Well, I know that by offerings. I know that by the plate and offerings. People today are stingy. You better not be stingy in that one. Why? Because then it shows up in Acts 2, Peter following right up with suit. Did they sell all they had? Ain't nobody ain't hurting. And what you're doing is waiting for Brother Jerry to shut up so you can get into that barbecue. It's exactly what you're waiting on. But does it say everlasting life instead of eternal life? Maybe there's a good study for you. Now, look with me in Romans 11. In Romans chapter 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles. Thank you, Paul. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. He's not ashamed of his office, even though he's a Jew, even though they're persecuting him because of this. Imagine him coming along to some Jews that have known him in his earlier life. And what have you been doing, Paul? I've been going to the Gentiles. What'd you say? Well, I've been going to the Gentiles. Why? Well, his prayer for Israel was, look in Romans 10. He's not going to hide his office to the Gentiles, but he is going to go to the Jews first. And I believe it was Alan was talking about, there's a time when tongues and signs and prophecies, they're not needed any longer. Why? Because in Acts 28 turns to the Gentiles, and it's like the absolute casting away of Israel. Religion doesn't see that. Religion is still trying to claim onto the power of Pentecost, which Paul didn't have in the first place, you might say. His message is he wasn't even sent to baptize. He was sent to preach the gospel. The gospel, folks. Why? Is it the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek? Then what should he deliver? The gospel, folks. Don't try to get fancy. There is nothing more important than the gospel of Christ. Because you'll never understand it until you get saved. You can memorize this entire Bible and still not get it. until that gospel is preached to you and you simply by childlike faith trust it. Do you remember that day?
I do.
Do you? What were you doing? How many of you remember where you were at when 9/11 happened? I was in a glass shop with a friend of mine, Eric, and he had the TV on. We weren't paying any attention, and I looked over and I go, what happened here? And the tower's on fire, and the next thing they show is another one coming in, and it hit. I remember that. How many of you remember the shuttle when it blew up? Where were you at? I was in a cemetery at Aniana, waiting to teach a class, I think in Jan's church. Or his Bible study. Where were you at when you trusted the Lord? Or you been faking? Maybe you're just a studious grace student. You know, you're just studious. And you're a rightly divider. I could rightly divide before I saved. Where were you when you trusted Christ? Were you down and out in Beverly Hills? Were you in trouble? Were you on your toilet? Were you traveling? Were you in a car? Were you sitting in church? Where were you? Well, there's one thing you better know. You was hearing the gospel of Christ. It didn't please God by the foolishness of singing to save them that believed. It didn't please God by the foolishness of talking to save them that believed. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Folks, TV's full of talking. There's one feller on there that's really good at it, ain't he? And he can motivate you to think you're going to have a good life. Only thing is, I saw a verse on there is we're accounted for sheep for the slaughter. Where'd that good life come from, man? They can motivate you. They're taught to motivate you. And they can get you motivated where you feel good about yourself and that you're doing God a good job. And you have turned from your sins and you're not like that other guy. I thank you that I'm not like that publican over there. Not me, man. I wouldn't be dead, caught dead doing what they're doing. But when was there a day when you didn't have any way at all? When was there a day when you actually needed somebody's forgiveness because you hadn't had any luck getting any? When was that day? Romans 11, there was an apostle of Gentiles. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. What have you been scared of all your life? The older you get, the worse it gets. What have you been scared of? All you young people don't know what I'm saying. What have you been scared of? That's exactly what you've been scared of, death. And you tried to figure it out because you wonder, what's it going to be like, the transition? Where will I be? What's going to happen to me when it happens? Well, how about it don't happen to you? Wouldn't that be great? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Whereunto... What do we think of the word whereunto? What's before that? What he's been maybe discussing? Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. That's a pretty sure thing. So I can take by the word of God that Paul is appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, right? Now what would he want to tell the Gentiles? Well, let's just go back to verse 9. Paul said, who has saved us? That's Paul and Timothy, because verse 1 is what? What's the first word? What's the first two words in two? Who's the letter two? Folks, if you read 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself. That's Timothy. The whole book is about Timothy. What is chapter 2, verse 2? Verse 1. My son. Who's that? That's Timothy. Back to chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us? Who? Paul and Timothy. And called us with a holy calling. Who? Paul and Timothy. Saved us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished what? Yeah. Folks, if you ever learn the difference between sin and sins, you'll understand this. It don't matter if you quit sinning, you'll die. That's Adam's gift to you. But the gift of God is eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that eternal life given to us abolished death. What was promised before the world began? That's right. Now, if it's promised, I thank God. If you look at your life, why should God save you? Because you're a good fella or a good woman? The way you look? I know, it's where you go. What time did you say, Steve? Okay. Why would God save you? You didn't know that. Why would God save you? He gave Himself for us. You see, Peter said, you killed Him. What does that say? Christ died for our sins. He died for us. And if you want it, it's yours. Now, you can't do anything to make it different, and you can't make anything to make it better. That was done before you were born. So, we get up here like fools and tell you, hey, I want to tell you good news. What's that? Long before you were born, a man died for your sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. But why did he die? Tell me, why is it that Jesus is dying? Why is he dying? God made him be sin. Come on, grasp it. He made him to be sin. Now, if he becomes sin, he's going to die. And so if he's going to die, God said, now, I'm going to let that dying be for your sins. That's the difference between sin and sins. Yes. And when you accept that, you get adopted. And the inheritance of adoption is eternal life. Praise God. I appreciate you.